Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5. The name of the message today is Signs and Wonders. Now, in the religious world, people even today are still caught up with so-called signs and wonders. People out there who falsely are proclaiming themselves to be prophets, mouthpieces of God, for God. There's so much out there that is just dishonoring to God. And signs and wonders occurred during the apostolic time. Tongues was a sign for unbelieving Jews. And when the canon was complete, which is the scriptures, those signs and wonders ceased. Tongues ceased. Now last week we looked at the first 11 verses, and we saw how God dwelt, or how God dealt with two hypocrites who were in the church, Ananias and Sapphira. And God's judgment, it quickly fell upon them, didn't it? We saw that. It quickly fell upon them. Very visibly for the church, too. Very visibly for the church. They dropped dead on the spot. God took their lives. They had put together a wicked scheme and lied to the Holy Spirit. Look at verses 3 to 5 in Acts chapter 5. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Satan filled their hearts to do this, beloved. And to keep back part of the price of the land. Well, as it remained, was it not thine own? Yeah, it was theirs, wasn't it? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? They could have done whatever they wanted with the money, right? Why hast thou conceived this thing in your heart, and hast not lied unto men, but unto God? See, they wanted the church to think that they were given everything. But God knew they weren't. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, just dead just like that. God's judgment fell. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. Now that fear there is reverent fear. Because that fear there, that fear is within the body. Then look at verses 7 to 10. And it was come about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. She didn't have a clue what happened to Ananias. No one had told her. No one had told her. And Peter answered unto her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she straight away. Just dropped dead like that. Straight away at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. My, oh my. Then we see in verse 11 now that as a result of this swift judgment, that great fear fell upon all the church. And not just the church. But we're let known here that all who heard about it. Let's look at verse 11. They heard about this swift judgment. And great fear came upon all the church. And upon as many as heard these things. See, it's easy for us to miss that, right? Fear fell upon people who heard about it. All people, saved and lost. But God was sovereignly at work. He was sovereignly at work, beloved. And the members of the early New Testament church knew that it was God that had killed these two hypocrites. And true reverential fear fell upon them. True fear. Not just fear of death or fear of hell, but true fear. Fear of God. Who can send one to hell. My, oh my. And as a result of the death of Ananias and Sapphira, and the fact that our Lord took them out of His church, because that's what He did, and out of this life as well, it was used by God the Holy Spirit to cause His born-again, blood-washed saints to now examine their own hearts. And like all other events in their lives, the exposure and the removal of these two enemies of Christ and His church was all ordained by God. And executed for the glory of God, for the good of His people. For the good of His chosen blood-bought saints. Because look at this, great fear came upon the church. My. And not just the church, we see. Great fear came upon as many as heard these things. Oh, my. This refers to those who were not members of the church, the unregenerate. The Sanhedrin heard about this, no doubt. Oh, my. The unenlightened Jews, those who were not born again, were also observers of these amazing things that our Lord Jesus Christ was doing for His people. Their fear, of course, was not a reverential fear, as the church had. See, the church has a reverential fear, not a slavish fear, but a reverential fear of God, of who He is. We know He's holy. He's majestic. We know that He saved us by His grace and mercy alone, period. Not based upon anything in us or anything we've done or anything at all, but all because of the grace and mercy of God. And these unregenerate folks, they didn't fear God with a reverential fear. They did fear death. And that's what filled their natural hearts when they heard what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. It wasn't a reverential fear. It was a fear of death. Does anyone want to die? No. Now let's read our text today. Verses 12 to 16 of Acts chapter 5. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Look at that. One accord. Unity, beloved. They were in unity. And that unity come from the Holy Spirit of God. That's what we have here too, beloved. Unity. And it's wrought. Well, let's give all the glory to God, right? Because it's all in Him. And through Him. And because of Him. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers, look at this. Even though there was great fear, there was more believers added to the church. You know why? Because they just kept preaching the gospel, beloved. How faith cometh by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God, right? Gospel's got to be preached. They're preaching Christ. And how do we know that? Well, we know that because remember they said, don't preach the resurrection. Don't preach in this man's name. The Sanhedrin told them that in chapter 4, remember? We're going to see the Sanhedrin's going to throw them in jail. Some of them in jail. Right after this portion next week, we'll find that out. But oh, there's something that happens there that will just amaze us. Oh, God sends one of his angels down. Oh, man. This time his sword's in its seat, though. It's not unseated. My, oh, my. My, oh, my. Insomuch that they bought, look at this, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Look at that. Multitudes. Man, it's amazing. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Look at this, look at verse 16. There came also a multitude of the cities round about unto them, unto Jerusalem, bringing forth sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they healed every one. You know, you ask these folks that are into the Pentecostal and charismatic movement why their supposed healing preachers don't go to the children's hospital, which would be the first place you'd go if you had the gift of healing, right? Or the cancer wards. What? Well, they have to do it in special meetings. I don't see that here, do you? Peter's just walking down the street, isn't he? Who's doing the healing here? Christ, amen. God. God's doing the healing here. Oh, my. There's a fellow I listen to. He's a paraplegic, and he preaches the gospel from his wheelchair. And he's went to numerous of these charismatic meetings, and they keep kicking him out of them. He said, "I'm here to get healed." And they said, "Now, oh, we know you. We don't want you in here. You're just a bunch of charlatans, beloved. My, look what the Lord's done here. Look what he's done here before us in this text. It's absolutely amazing. Multitudes came out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed and unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." Do you know God will heal every one of his elect? Right? There will not be one he's going to lose. By his stripes we're healed, right? I'm talking spiritual stuff there, not physical. All our sins are forgiven and washed clean by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, oh my. So we see here that in our text, the Lord Jesus, who is the one doing the healing, endowed his apostles with his special power. And during the apostolic age, the New Testament had not yet been written. Remember, they're going around, they're preaching from the Old Testament. They don't have the New Testament. They don't have what we have. The letters were being written, but they don't have at this time the New Testament. They're preaching Christ from the law and the prophets. Anytime someone tells you Christ's not in the Old Testament, just laugh at them and say, "Well, what did the apostles use?" They used the Old Testament. That's all they had. When Paul says, "Bring me the scrolls," he's talking about the Old Testament written on scrolls, beloved. Bring me the scriptures. He's talking, anytime you see the scriptures mentioned in the New Testament, they're talking about the Old Testament. Christ is all through it. And we have it right here. We have it, beloved. In one book. Isn't that amazing? You know, I remember saying one time to Norm, I said, "Well, I wish we could have been a fly on the wall on those two on the road to Emmaus as Christ expounded himself." And he said, "We have it all." We have it right here. We just don't understand it all. And that's why when Christ reveals to us himself in the Old Testament, we're like, "My goodness, I've never saw that before." Isn't that wonderful? Or you hear somebody preaching, "I never saw that before." It's wonderful. It's God the Holy Spirit teaching us the things of Christ. My, oh my. So during the apostolic age, the New Testament hadn't been written. And our Lord Jesus Christ performed many miracles. Remember, Christ performed many miracles. And he also, during this time, he performed miracles by the hands of his apostles and to make it known to his people that he had sent these men. They were sent by God. to reveal to His chosen people that what His apostles were preaching was the true gospel. Was the true gospel of God's amazing grace and salvation only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And His amazing grace He bestows upon His chosen people. You know, we're receivers of the amazing grace of God, we who believe. Did you deserve it? I didn't. No, we didn't deserve it. Right? All of us are shaking our head. No, we didn't deserve it at all, did we? Not at all. But He gave it to us. Oh, my. And we don't need signs and wonders to manifest who God's preachers are. Our God's given us the New Testament and the Old Testament, right? That plainly reveals the spiritual meaning of the Old Testament Scriptures. During His public ministry on earth, our Lord said, "Search the Scriptures." That's the Old Testament He's talking about. The New Testament hadn't been written. He says, "Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." John 5:39. Search the Scriptures. And you all, and me, we're to be Bereans, aren't we? So if we're listening to someone preach the gospel, we don't just believe it because the person's saying it. We believe what the Scriptures say. And if a man's preaching what the Scripture says, then we believe it, right? By the grace of God. If he isn't, we go, that's not right. Brother Zane bought me something that somebody he knew had heard. And he said, "What do you think of this?" And I said, "I ain't never heard of that before." He goes, I thought the same thing. I thought the same thing. I just wanted to ask you what you thought. I ain't never heard of that. Nope. My, oh my. God the Holy Spirit manifests who His preachers are by whom we preach. We preach Christ. We don't preach ourselves. We may use ourselves in illustrations and things that we experienced in our lives, but we preach Christ. I want you to hear about Christ. I may tell you what He's done for me too. Because He's done great things for me, and I know He's done great things for you, right? And who do we want to brag on? We want to brag on Christ, don't we? And it won't take you long listening to the preaching to find out if the man's preaching Christ or not. Note I didn't say woman. The man's preaching Christ. These places have women preachers. I have nothing against women, but they are not ordained to preach. Not at all. My, oh my. And as a matter of fact, we men are to exalt our wives and put them on pedestals. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it? My. My, oh my. God the Holy Spirit again manifests who His preachers are, by whom they preach. They preach Christ and Him crucified. They preach salvation only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they preach the perfect, finished, sin atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I've said many times, I preach a salvation that's finished. It's already done. There's nothing for us to do. Now we receive it by God's grace. Because if it wasn't for God's grace, no one would receive it. Because the Scripture says there's none that seeketh after God. There's none that understandeth. You ever think about this? That He's revealed Himself? He's given us an understanding of who He is? And it's just a little wee bit, right? We can't. It's just a little. There's so much more about God that we don't know. But the little wee bit for us, we just. Are you amazed that God saved you? That God, who controls all things and keeps everything together, saved your eternal soul? Willingly came to this earth to redeem us? And that work was done, finished, 2,000 years ago? Done. And we just look to Christ by God-given faith and we live. That's amazing grace, isn't it? That's incredible. No wonder we praise Him. No wonder we want to get together and talk about Christ, whether it be on the phone or together. No wonder we do. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's glorious. And God's preachers, God sent preachers, preached the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He became a man. God became a man and suffered and died and bled for sinners as their substitute. And who was God off, or who was Christ offering Himself up to? God. He offered Himself a sacrifice to appease God. Because we'd sinned against God. Right? That's who we've sinned against. And so, by God's grace, and by His purpose, and by His sovereign will, He chose to save us in Christ. And just to let us know we had nothing to do with it, He says, I chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. Meaning nothing to do with the choosing, right? Nothing. Is salvation of the Lord? Is it all of the Lord? Amen. All. The Alpha and what? Amensis and the Omega. That's the two. That's the first Greek letter of the Greek alphabet, and that's the last letter of the Greek alphabet. And everything in between. He did it all, beloved. He did it all. He did it all. Paul said this, I like this. I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Everything else is just, doesn't matter. Really. I'm going to say something, and if you watch the show, that's great. I've watched it before in the past. It's interesting. But you ever see that show where they do all the trivia thing? It's on Jeopardy? Those guys' heads are filled with useless information. Think about it. In light of eternity. It's interesting, though. You sit there. The only topics I ever know is the Bible topics. That's the only ones I ever get right. Everything else just goes right by me. But really, in light of eternity, they're full of useless information. Because Paul says, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Christ and Him crucified. Isn't that amazing? And as Brother Gene Harmon said, we don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what Paul preached, do we? He laid it out very clearly. He said this in 1 Corinthians 1:7. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. I'm sent here to Elmont, Michigan to preach the gospel to people who I love very much. I am sent here to preach the gospel to you. That's the whole reason that God sent me here. And isn't it amazing? From Canada to Oregon to here. That's amazing. But that's the whole reason I'm here, is to preach the gospel. And Paul said this, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. I'm not supposed to stand up here and give you theological words. I could give you theological words, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to speak to you the way I speak. I love theology. I love it. It's wonderful. But there's sometimes I just have to close those books and go, okay, I'm just going to look at the scripture. And I'm not going to get up here. I have to look up those words to understand them. I think Paul was a genius. And he says, I'm not going to speak to you in words of wisdom. I'm not going to dazzle you with all the language and the words that I know. He just said, I'm here to preach Christ and Him crucified. Think of our Lord. Look through the words that the Lord spoke. He mostly spoke in one and two syllable words. And he's the creator of the universe. He's the creator of all. And he speaks. He says, I, single, am the way, the truth, the life. No man, that's two syllables, cometh unto the Father but by me. You see all those one-syllable words, beloved? And there's so much profound truth in that, isn't there? My. So Paul says, I'm not come here to speak with words of wisdom. Listen to what he says. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Lest the gospel get muddled and muddied in me using these big words. Words of so-called wisdom. Paul knew that any sinful attempt to try to mix the works of men with God's grace would make the suffering of Christ meaningless. He also said this in 1 Corinthians 9:16. And again, remember these words that he's spoken of. As I said in Sunday school, he's the secretary, right? He's just writing down what God the Holy Spirit's putting on his heart. The true author of these words is God the Holy Spirit. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 9:16. He says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. I don't have anything to glory of in myself. You talk to Norm when he comes and Drew, we'll all say, we don't have anything to glory in. You talk to Jim and Gary and Tim James and Donnie Bell, we'll all say, we have nothing to glory in. The only one we can glory in is Christ. Oh, he's the only one. Is he the only one you want to glory in? Amen, right? My. He says, I have nothing to glory, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The word necessity there means constraint. He's constrained to preach the gospel. We can't do anything else. And he says, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe unto me if I mix grace and works. Woe! That's not right. Salvation's in Christ and through Christ alone plus nothing. And every time Paul preached, he knew the necessity. He's constrained, was laid upon him to preach the gospel. Now one may ask, what is the gospel? Well, the gospel is Christ, isn't it? He is the gospel. It's all about him. Without Christ, there's no good news, is there? That's what the gospel is, good news. But there's no good news without Christ, so he is the gospel. And he is Jehovah. He's the second person of the Trinity. Jehovah the Son, who's become flesh. My. And if we're not preaching Christ, we're not preaching His gospel. Here are some things. When God's preachers preach Christ, if you want to write these down. Number one, we're telling our hearers who the Lord Jesus Christ is. That He's Jehovah God. He's our sovereign creator. He is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. He's God incarnate in the flesh. Number two, we're telling our hearers that He is virgin born. He's the seed of the woman. He has no sin. No sin at all. No sin at all. And we're telling our hearers what Christ has done for His chosen people. That He humbled Himself. That He was born of a virgin. And remember, He did it for His chosen people. He didn't die for everyone. I heard a fellow say, well, Christ died for everyone this week. I said, well, then what about the people in hell? If you're saying that, then he's a failure. My God, the scripture says about my king, he shall not fail. Christ didn't fail, did he? We preach a finished, accomplished work. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. I don't know who the sheep are, so I preach to everybody. But God knows them, doesn't he? Oh, my. Number three, we tell our hearers that as a man, the Lord Jesus Christ honored God's holy law perfectly. See, God requires perfection. Christ is the perfect man. And he honored God's holy law perfectly by the obedience. By his perfect obedience. He perfectly obeyed the law of God, all according to the will of God the Father. See, that law had to be fully satisfied, didn't it, for us? And he's our substitute. Isn't that wonderful? He fully honored God's law. And then in doing so, he established a perfect righteousness. I mean, a righteousness without spot. And that's what we're clothed in, isn't it? Remember? Remember what the prodigal, the father said? Bring forth the best robe. We were talking about that, brother. Bring forth the best robe. That's the righteousness of Christ. Father says, bring forth the best robe. I have to clothe. And who puts it on us? The Father. He has to clothe his children in the blessed robe. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ right now, beloved. And if you're saved, isn't that amazing? Oh, it's so wonderful. So wonderful. Number four, as a man, Christ, our Savior, paid the redemption price in full for the sins of his people. How? By the supreme sacrifice of himself. Number five, also by his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Isn't that wonderful? Number six, Lord Jesus Christ endured the wrath of God in our room and place. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. And you know what he did when he did that? He delivered his people from the wrath to come. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians, let's turn there. This is wonderful. Do you know that before the Thessalonians were saved, they were Gentiles, right? And you know what they served? Idols. False idols. Right? I come from Gentile stock. My ancestors and myself, when I was in the Roman Catholic Church, were a bunch of idol worshippers. God delivered me from that. Praise his mighty name. And look what Paul writes about the Thessalonians here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. So the Thessalonians, when they had went out into another city, they just started talking about Christ. So much so that Paul didn't, he went there and they'd already heard. They'd already heard. Look at this. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols. Who turned them? God turned them, didn't he? By his almighty power. They turned to God from idols to serve, look at this, the living and true God. In contrast to the false idols they were serving, who were just nothing but dead idols. Pieces of wood and stone. And to wait. Now, this is what every believer does. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from what? What did he deliver us from? The wrath to come. Look at that. Delivered. That means rescued. Beloved, we've been rescued. And that's what is that? That's the preaching of the gospel tells sinners who believe in sinners. You've been rescued. You know, in Christ, another point we mentioned in the gospel, the preaching is Christ laid down his life for the sheep, and when he did, his death reconciled us to God. Listen to this, Romans 5 verses 8 to 10. But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We weren't even born or regenerated when Christ died. But the scripture there says, but God commanded His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood. Oh, the blood's so important. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. We shall be saved. There's that little word shall again. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Another point we bring forth when we're preaching the gospel is Jesus Christ was raised from the dead for our justification. If he hadn't risen from the grave, that would have shown God wasn't satisfied. But because He rose from the grave, God's absolutely satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. And the scripture says in the book of Romans chapter 4 verse 24, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So God raised Christ, who was, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Brother Brian, Christ was raised for our justification. Show that God's satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ in our room and place. Whew, makes you want to shout hallelujah, doesn't it? It's wonderful. I'm telling you. Oh, we can smile and rejoice in this, can't we? Oh my, this is wonderful. And number 9, after His resurrection, Jesus Christ, the God-man, entered into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God for us. Do you know that Christ appears in the presence of God for we who believe right now? Scripture says this, Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's our mediator. He's our mediator. The one true mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. My. My. And so He's in the presence of God. He's our advocate, beloved. He's our great eternal high priest also. He's pleading for those who He's redeemed with His own precious blood. He shows the blood. And God's satisfied with that blood, isn't He? Oh my. Satan come up and accuse us. Accuse the brethren. Christ just shows the blood. She's mine. He's mine. When I see the blood, I'll pass over. Saved from the wrath to come. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, may God help us to realize these wonderful truths spoken, this truth spoken by Pastor Henry Mahan. He said, we're as sure as heaven as if we're already there. Isn't that wonderful? That's not presumption either. That's because it's all about Christ, not about us. My. And when we preach Christ, when we preach the gospel of Christ, we're also telling the hearers that God has highly exalted His Son above all. He's exalted. He's the name above all names, isn't He? He's highly exalted His Son. He's glorified. Christ is the glorified God-man, Lord over all. That's our Savior, beloved. That's our Savior. My. And Christ is the only wise God, our Savior, who by His power will present us. Now think of this. He will present us faultless and blameless before the Father. Faultless and blameless. All we are is sin, aren't we? Even as the saved believers. I was telling the folks on Wednesday night that a friend of mine said this week, he said, we sin at least once a day now that we're believers. I looked at him and said, man, all I am is sin. And I'm a saved sinner. Oh, my. He didn't know what to say. once a day. Oh my gosh, man. Would Zane say four times a second or something? 2 times a second. Oh, isn't it? But you see, they don't have the proper concept of sin, do they? You know, God has saved us from our sin. He saved us from our sin. Isn't that incredible? Let us rejoice, beloved. It's absolutely amazing. And here we are. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. And He's going to present us faultless. God's going to look at us. There's no spot in Him. Because we're in Christ, beloved. Isn't that amazing? You think of all of us. All of us from all the ages presented to the Father. A spotless bride. And every one of us can go, whoa, we're not worthy of this, but praise His mighty name. Isn't that amazing? Now, I don't think we fully understand how many times we do sin. Because, you know, we even sin when we're sleeping, right? Just think about your dreams, right? We sin when we're awake. We sin and we don't even know it. My, oh my. Spurgeon used to say that. He had a saying. He said, I sin more from my getting up in the morning and going to my breakfast table to damn 1,000 souls. Well, that's a man who had a grasp on sin, right? My. Not once a day, but right? Oh, my. And think of this. He has obtained eternal redemption for us. Now look in our text. It says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all one accord in Solomon's porch. We see here that our Lord is demonstrating His power by these signs and wonders. He's demonstrating His power, just as He demonstrated His power by the miracles that He performed upon this earth. Do you know God's power is demonstrated every time a sinner is saved? Born again by the almighty power of God. Isn't that amazing? My. So here, though, He's demonstrating His power in a special way by the hands of the apostles. And we've been taught in our previous studies that they were all one accord. And here we see, even in this text, they were in unity. And we see here they're in unity still. You know, some of the folks, when Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead, they didn't say, well, I'm out of here, man. No, they're in unity. They're in unity with this. And we know the apostles were all preaching the same gospel, weren't they? There wasn't multiple messages of different messages. There was only one way they were preaching. And Paul said, I preach Christ. That's what Peter was preaching. That's what John was preaching. And using His gospel and His preachers as instruments, our Lord, we see in the text, our Lord added to the church. So as the gospel went forth, our Lord added to the church. He does whatever He sees fit. And again, all of them were praising and worshiping the one true living God. They had absolute unity. And none of them were attributing what they'd experienced to their own works. No, they were saying salvation's of the Lord. It's all Him. It's all Him. And God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who's inspired them to write these words for our learning. And to write the New Testament for our learning. And we see all through the New Testament and the Old Testament, the depravity of man is showing forth, right? Oh my. And so when God saves a sinner in light of that depravity, it's absolutely amazing grace, isn't it? It's amazing. You know, you go into a jewelry store. You ever notice if you want to look at diamonds and they bring out a black felt thing, and then they put the diamonds on that, and those diamonds just pop, right? They just, whoa. Think of the blackness of our sin in the diamonds of the free and sovereign grace of salvation in and through Christ alone. And how that is magnified in the blackness of our sin. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's wondrous. The salvation we have in Christ. My, oh my. And let us remember and rejoice in this wonderful truth that God has not changed. He's still saving people today. He's still moving. The gospel's still going forth. The gospel's still being preached. Right? He's still working. He's still moving. Oh my. It's wonderful. And He still uses His glorious gospel. That's what He uses. That's what He uses. Preached by ordained preachers as instruments to deliver to His chosen blood-bought children for the Holy Spirit to take them out of that darkness that they're in. He's still using the gospel, beloved. God's not changed. He doesn't use all these other things that people are saying out there. You ever hear somebody say, I got a word from the Lord? Just turn away and walk away. I'm telling you what. Everything God has to say to us is right here. Right in this book. Right in this book. Oh my. And so God's preachers, we all preach the same message. We preach the same message that the apostles preached. Salvation in and through Christ alone. That's it. And He's revealed the same gospel truth to us that He revealed to them. And that He's revealed to you too. And you love to hear it and we love to preach it. And I love to hear it too when I sit and listen to a sermon. Isn't it wonderful? It's wonderful. Tell me more about what Christ has done for me. My. And God's preachers have a sincere concern for the salvation of those who will hear the messages. I pray all the time, Lord, please use the message to save souls. Bring folks to hear the gospel. But also use the message as it goes out on the internet and use it for your glory and honor and praise. Draw your lost sheep in, if it be your will. We have a sincere concern for souls. My. And you do too, don't you? All of us do as God's people. And all of those who experience the miracle of the new birth being born again, we have the same Spirit in us. The same Spirit that rejoices over these wondrous truths. The same Spirit that regenerated Peter, Paul, and John. My. And He generates excitement in us. The same spiritual joy that the apostles said we have. Isn't that amazing? They're just like us, beloved. They got down sometimes. Remember Peter? I'm going fishing. You don't think he was down? He denied the Lord 3 times. And then our great God and King, He says, Peter, do you love me? Doesn't even mention the sin. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yea, Lord. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yea, Lord, you know all things. Feed my sheep. Didn't even mention what he did. Isn't that wondrous? Why? Because it's all forgiven. Washed clean under the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us remember that, eh? Oh my, that's wonderful. Let's look at our text again here. And by the hands of the apostles, verse 12, Acts 5:12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, there's no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes. Look at that. Both of men and women. And how? By the preaching of the gospel, right? And by the hearing of the gospel. By regenerating power of God the Holy Spirit. In so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets. And laid them on beds and couches. That at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Wow. This is amazing. This really happened. Zane and I were talking, and Zane said, we're like third person people looking at this and going, wow, look at this. Look what's happening. God, the Holy Spirit, gives us a view, a window into what just occurred. And our Lord, He was performing miracle after miracle through the apostles, we see. And all this was ordained for His glory and honor and praise, for the glory of the exalted Christ and for the glory of His grace, to prove that He had sent His apostles, that they were sent by Him, and to bring those people to hear the gospel that His apostles had the honor of preaching to. If you and I are here today, it's because God ordained it. Isn't that amazing? Oh my. And we see in the text that multitudes were added to the church. So God had ordained that preaching. And here it goes. Whoosh. And the Holy Spirit moves and saves a multitude of people added to the church. It's amazing, beloved. It's absolutely amazing. We see, and we also see, think of this too. We see God's sovereign hand of protection. Because it appears that our Lord Jesus Christ used these miracles and wonders to restrain the wicked hands of the Sanhedrin. Now, next week, they're going to be back in action against the apostles. But at this point here, we see the restraining hand of God. Because they knew, with all these things happening, these miracles happening, that if they went and took them and put them in bonds, there'd be an uproar, wouldn't there? There'd be an uproar. Oh my. So at this point, they're not trying to put a stop to the preaching. Not at all. But look at verse 17, which we're going to look at next week. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. Miracles are happening. Miracles, beloved, are happening right before them. And they're filled with wrath. You know why? Because their purses are getting pinched. That's what it is. It's about nothing but power and money. That's all it is. That's all. The whole reason they're upset is just because of that. Because multitudes of people, they're becoming believers by the power of God. And they're looking at this going, oh my goodness. And so they're filled. It just shows you natural man hates God, beloved. My, oh my. And as we look at this, we're filled with awe, aren't we? In wonder. Multitudes are added to the church. They're bringing sick people and they're healed by the power of God. Why would you be upset when God's healing people? My, oh my. Just, again, it shows the depravity of man. See, we see the contrast between the sovereignty of God and the depravity of man. Because our God is sovereignly at work all through this, isn't He? Even today, He's sovereignly at work, isn't He? Doing whatever He will. In such a rapid growth of believers, whose faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ, was a complete contradiction to what those Jewish, false Jewish teachers were teaching. They were losing control. They were losing control. And they knew, though, any action against the apostles, they knew, might cause an uproar. Well, we see in verse 17, they finally got fed up and they were filled with wrath. And in verse 18, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Just threw them in a common jail. For what? Preaching the gospel. My, oh my. My, oh my. And again, let us marvel at the fact that the text here brings forth multitudes were added to the Lord. Christ is glorified in the common people. In the higher-ups, the religious higher-ups, they're filled with wrath. Isn't that amazing? Multitudes of common people like you and I being added to the church. And the religious leaders are freaking out. Filled with wrath. Again, we know why. But marvel at the blessed state of the church at this time. Someone, Brother Gene Harmon said this, he said, well, now some may foolishly say, well, if I could witness such miracles and wonders, I'd believe. No, you wouldn't. No, we wouldn't. Not in our natural state. Nope. No, we wouldn't. Because there's no man that seeketh after God. Now, if you're born again, you're going to seek Christ. You're going to seek Christ. Now, listen, I'm going to close with a few scriptures here. See, the preaching of the gospel will fall on deaf ears if it's not made manifest by God the Holy Spirit. He must move. Listen to this. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, which is Christ, right? He's the righteousness of God. In the gospel, Christ is revealed. From faith to faith, for as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We live by the faith. We live by faith in Christ. And that faith is given to us. It's marvelous. Then, in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, which we read earlier, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And in this, John 6:63, the Lord, our Master's words, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, which means makes alive, born again. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And then John 6:65, therefore I say I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Then John 3:3. Except the man be born again, he cannot see, which means perceive, understand, or know. We cannot perceive, understand, or know unless we're born again the kingdom of God. Oh my. Then Paul in his epistles wrote these things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. And then he writes, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, born again, with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And then 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 31. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Glory in God. My, what a Savior. Brother Jim, would you mind